Take your Bibles tonight. Thank you for coming. 1 Peter chapter 3, we've been looking at on Sunday nights, the B series, and some of those directives in the New Testament and direction from the Apostle Paul and Apostle Peter about some things that we need to be looking at, be ready for, be active in. And the one tonight, we come to 1 Peter 3, verse 10. I've entitled, Be Ready. And we've got to be ready, be ready. And for this life, many people are just living a delusional life, a false sense of security in their lives. 3, verse 10. Notice what he says, For he that will love life, and see good days. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil, that means to shun or avoid, and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. As we stop there for a minute, we got to be ready for really the end of the end. And we're praying and hoping for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lifetime, but that may not happen. There's a high probability that it won't. But we are praying and hoping, and we're commanded to hope and pray for the imminent return of Christ. But one thing is guaranteed, though, is that we're going to die. You know, put it bluntly, we're going to pass from this earth. And we see it. Now, Titus 3, verse 1, he says, Put them in mind to be subject to principalities, to powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to give... ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man. And he goes on and on. Be ready, he says. Be cautious and aware. Beware, 2 Timothy 4, 6, for I'm now ready, he says, to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. Sometime in the future, you and I are going to meet Jesus Christ face to face. We're going to see him. And we're going to know him. The Bible is clear on that. But are you ready tonight to meet the Lord? The Lord gave some specific warnings about being ready. Be ready. Be ready for him. Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. What? He's coming. Be ready, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. He goes on and on. Paul could say the same. Paul said he was ready. He learned the simple truth of life and stated it. For me to live as Christ, to die is gain. That ought to be our prayer, right? That ought to be our aim. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. What's he saying? When I die, that's a gain. That's a step up. In the world, it's the opposite, isn't it? When I die, everything ends. It's sad. It's tragic. You know, blah, blah, blah. Everything that they moan about. When we die, it's a gain. He says it's a step up in life. It's something that we're excited about. We're looking forward to. Now, obviously not leaving our loved ones and all of that, but we get to be with our Savior, right? He went on to say, But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. For you. And so, why are you here? Paul says, I'm still here breathing for you, to minister to you. Why are you still here breathing? Well, I hope it's for the glory of Christ and for him and serving him and glorifying the Lord and living for him. Why are you here? Just to breathe air? No, you're here to serve Christ, to bring glory to his name in everything and at all times that we're seeking that. So we must be prepared. Number one, we're prepared for the end. Being prepared for death does not mean that I want to die. Now, you know some crackpots out there that preach and teach that. You know, I just can't wait to die. I'm living my life with reckless abandon, and I don't care what happens to me. I'm going to go out, and they're just half crazy, aren't they? But no, we're supposed to what? Live with that preparation. Not wanting to die, probably the strongest instinctive drive in the human being is the will to live. you've heard story after story of people that the will to live, and they got out of situations. I saw one a while back. A mother came out, and the child was trapped underneath, I think it was a vehicle or something, and a tragic accident. You know, the kid was playing around where he shouldn't have been. The car fell on top of the kid, and it crushed him. And the mom came out, and what'd she do? She lifted up on that front bumper just enough, that car, just so that kid could get out. Praise the Lord, he didn't die. But you think about that will to live. And that adrenaline hits your bloodstream and everything else in those situations. But that drive, that desire to live, and how people have lived through tragic things, through horrific things, weeks upon end without any food because they've lived in a prison somewhere or they've been trapped somewhere, something. Well, they have a will to live. And we have that, but we ought to understand God has placed that in us. It's a natural thing to want to survive. And a person that wants to die is considered abnormal. A person that wants to end his life, that's not good. That's not normal. That's not healthy, right? To say it nicely. There's something wrong in here, in their heads. There's something off. And obviously we know it's large part due to the satanic attack in their lives and being unconverted. Now thinking through, we must consider this. Something is wrong with the person that desires to die. But if you are not ready to die, you then truly are not ready to live. If you are not prepared for death, you are not living. You are merely existing. How do we prepare for that? Now, a couple things here, except the fact. Number one, the fact is it's appointed unto man once to die. Once. Not that I want to die, but once. O-N-C-E, once. To die. But after this, he says, is a judgment. The statistics on death are very simple. Now listen to these. This is very complicated. One out of every one dies. Is that hard to understand? No. The kids got that, right? One out of one. Did you get that, Amos? You got that. He doesn't want to. Okay. One out of one. Every person's going to die, right? And so you think about this here. We think children sometimes die. Young adults sometimes die. People maybe are struck down in the prime of their life. And without exception, all we know, people will eventually die. And you go to the average nursing home today. We had a nursing home ministry. I've had two nursing home ministries in two different ministries, but they're the same, aren't they? You go into the nursing home, and these poor people, I mean, they're just waiting to die, aren't they? And praise God for people that are getting in there with the ministry, with the gospel, and preaching. And we stood there, and I had the great privilege of leading that ministry, and so I stood and preached to these people. And you have this man over here who's drooling and slumped over, and you have this lady over here who's talking to a doll, and this guy in the back who's talking, and it's just a great ministry because it's like, oh, this is good, you know. They don't care what I say. No, but I was very honest about it, and I prayed, and I sat down with some of them that were interested and all of that. But those poor people, they're just waiting to die, aren't they? And you love those people, want to care for them and see them saved. But how tragic it is that so many people wait till that very time to accept Christ, and it's too late. Their mind is gone. A lot of ways, their mind is gone. And I sat down with a man, and his mind was gone. I mean, nothing there. You know, the arms are down, the lights are flashing, but the train ain't coming, you know. And he was gone. And I sat down and said, sir, do you know you're saved? And he looked at me, and he said, oh, hello. And I said, do you know you're saved, sir? Do you have, hello, do you know you're saved? And it's not funny, but, you think it's tragic. They're gone. And how long they wait. They wait till the end when it's too late. And tonight, that's what I want to encourage you with. Are you ready? Are you ready? All of us in here, I truly believe all of us in here have a right mind. We know and can understand between good and evil, for between holy and unholy and righteous. We know, and now's the time to make the decision, but we need to accept the fact. Now, if death was the end of all things, then it would not be so bad. But it is not the end of all things, is it? If death was the end of all things, right? It's done, it's end. Whew, fine. This is, now a lot of this believed, Jehovah's Witnesses, other people, Mormons believe some of this, but they believe a lot of the cessation of spirit or soul, meaning you die, you're done. A lot of the other cults believe this too as well. It's unbiblical. You're not done. There's a hell or a heaven. And we think about it, the people, the world today pushes this. If this is all, as I said this morning, if this life is all I have, Paul says, we are of most all men most miserable. But there is something coming, the judgment, he says. Psalm 7, God judgeth the righteous and God is angry with the wicked every day. We read that. If he turn not, he will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. He hath also prepared for him the instruments of death. He ordaineth his arrows against the persecutors. So again, understanding we must prepare for this judgment. It's in set, it's ready to go. The next event on God's timetable, we believe, is the rapture of the church. So therefore, God has everything prepared. Okay? There's nothing lacking where he's going to go, oh, it's getting close to time, I better get ready. No, everything's already set and ready. And everything's prepared. Are you ready for that day? Are you ready for him? We need to accept the fact. Number two, can I say we need to make peace with God? Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. You have the peace of God, then you'll have the peace with God. You have the peace with God, you'll have the peace of God. It goes that way. So thinking through now, do you have peace with him? To have peace with God, we must be born again. Jesus said it this way, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Someone said, born once, die twice. Born twice, die only once, right? There's a physical death and there's a spiritual death, and we are clear on that. The second birth is as real as the physical birth. That's what he explained to Nicodemus. The second birth gives us eternal life. He said, I've written these things to you, 1 John 5:13. Ye may have life, ye may know that ye have eternal life. We must never be separated from God. But anyways, we come back to you. Do you have peace with God? Now, later he'll say that we be found of him in peace. What does that mean? When Christ returns, or you were to die tonight, meet him, you're found in peace. Your life is not in shambles. Your life, you may be a good Christian person, but you may have some issues, some personal problems you haven't taken care of, some personal sinful things you haven't corrected. All of that, I want to be found of peace by him. Now learn what God has revealed about death and about the end. I know this is a little bit of a morbid message to say the least, but we need to be prepared. And he says, be ready. Death is not the end of existence. It is a separation. Death is not soul sleep, as some teach. The body is what sleeps. We know that. Death is not to be feared. Death is simply the door at the entrance to heaven. And that's what we preach at a funeral of a saint or someone who's saved. We get to preach that. Have you ever been in a funeral of someone who's not saved? How tragic it is and how sad it is. And I said before, but I preached a funeral of a man I was not sure of. I preached a funeral for a lady. The funeral home called me and asked if I would do a funeral for a lady. They weren't church people, didn't have church, didn't have any pastor. And so I said, yeah, I'll do it. She died of a kind of a tragic death, but had no idea if she was saved. That's difficult. And you have a crowd of people that you know are unsaved people and they're unchurched people. And I started into the gospel and they all, some put their head down like this and others just looked, you know, those beady eyes. They got at you and I'm going, but do you think how tragic? It's sad, isn't it? So sad. But then you go to a funeral of someone who's saved and it's a joyous celebration, isn't it? Oh, praise God. Praise God they were saved. Praise God that just recently you went to Pastor Simmons' funeral and talking about it was just a celebration of life of a man that served God. And that you can account for many, I'm sure, as well. But it's not the end, is it? It is something that we are prepared for and should be prepared for. And I sure hope that you are. Christ, secondly, can I say here, we must live for Christ, obviously. Be prepared, one, but live for Christ while we're here. Colossians 3:3, for ye are dead, and your life is hid in Christ, or with Christ, in God. Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Paul lived in a culture where luxury and pleasure and power were the attainable goals of the privileged few. Same today, isn't it? Same today. He was one of those. Now, he was a Roman citizen, you recall. He was born free, or they called it free-born, the highest rank of citizenship. You remember they started to beat him, didn't they? Whip him. And he says, you beat Roman citizens openly? They said, well, what? You're a Roman citizen? He said, yep. And he proved it, whatever the case is. And they started to tremble, didn't they? They said, oh, we're in trouble, right? We're in a mess. help her out, Belle. And so we see here, but you think about, what does he say? He had all that he needed in this life, and he was the highest ranking of a citizen. He was very intelligent. He was well-educated. He was skilled with his hands. He was a skilled debater. We know that. He was multilingual, speak many languages. He was being groomed for a powerful position in religion, as you recall, right? At the feet of Gamaliel. He was very courageous, seemed to be a man. But notice, he found the real meaning of life in Christ. He had all of that, all the accolades, all the things. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. To live for Christ is more takes more commitment. You know that commitment to service, commitment to Him. He says, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you in Rome also. But sanctify, as we read, the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer. Commitment to service, right? To live for Christ, we must die to self. And this is the last one I want to hit on. We must die to self. Luke 9:23 says, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me, right? Die daily, giving him control of my life and in every area of control, right? In everything that we do, everything we say. That's what he says. Now notice he says there in verse 15 again, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Make sure he's primary, number one. Make sure God is set apart in your heart, right? He's at the top. He's on the throne. And be ready always to give an answer to every man. That asketh you of a reason. Why are they going to ask you the reason of the hope that's in you? Because Christ is sanctified in your heart. Because Christ is prioritized in your life. Christ is number one, numero uno, right? In your life. And they say, boy, why do you do that? Why is your life like that? And we say, well, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, I know that, but what do? You ever have someone tell you that? Yeah, I know you're a Christian, but what do? How do you have this success you have this hope within you? We say it's Him. It's because of Him. Now, verse 16, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Your good conversation, that meaning your lifestyle. Your good lifestyle in Christ. They're going to be ashamed of it, right? They can't prove you wrong. For to live for Christ, it means to die to self. Now, we die now in this life. We won't have to fear the death to come, right? We don't fear death. I'm already dead. A man was driving with old brother Lester Roloff, if you remember him, one day, and he said, Brother Lester, I said some things and made some comments to you, and I kind of mocked and I kind of made fun of you a little bit yesterday, and he says, I want to apologize to you. I feel like I shouldn't have done that. Brother Lester Roloff said, oh no, you don't have to apologize to me. He said, if that made me upset, I'd be the one in it at fault because I'm supposed to be dead to self. You know, I'm like, man, I couldn't attain to that quite yet. Right? But you think about it, that's how we should be, right? I'm dead to self. I'll be the one at fault because I'm not living as I should. This means giving Him control of my life. A distinction must be made between self-denial, and self-discipline. Self-discipline is necessary. Paul said, I keep under my body, bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I've preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. However, self will go along with rigid discipline as long as self can remain in control. But as long as self is in control, I am not denying self. Notice that. Denying self is refusing to allow self to control my life, giving that position to Jesus Christ. Giving Him my all. This means giving Him first place over everything that is dear to me. Everything. Whoever he be of you, he says, that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Isn't that true? Forsake all he has. We know that. And truly, if God were to ask you tonight to give up everything you have, you'd still be richer and wealthier than the average person in the world, wouldn't you? And I know I would. Third world countries today, tonight, very right now, if we were to give up everything, we'd still be wealthier. We'd still have more. And God isn't asking much from us, but He's asking us to deny self, put that aside, deny self and take up my cross and follow Him. To live for Christ, can I say here, lastly, we must abide in Him. Abide in Him. Now, little children, He says in 1 John 2, abide in Him, then when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. We are to dwell in the presence, looking for His return. He says, every man that hath his hope in Him purifieth himself even as he is pure. you have that knowledge, that you could meet Christ at any moment of your life. You could meet Christ at any time, any moment. Are you pure? Are you holy? Are you right? Oh, what a message we need. Are you ready for your face-to-face meeting with Christ? We sing the song, Face-to-Face with Christ my Savior. Face-to-face, right? What will it be? Are you ready? It's easy to put that aside. Isn't it funny that the world pushes on us to prepare for other things every day? Prepare, prepare, prepare. Better make sure you have the latest stuff. Better make sure you have the latest clothing, the latest shoes. Better make sure you have enough money. Better make sure you have the newest vehicle. Better make sure you have the nicest of things in your home and other areas. Get ready. Why? They're distracting you from the ultimate thing we're supposed to be ready for, our face-to-face meeting with Jesus Christ. And we think about this. Now, when I stand before Christ one day, I believe He's going to point me back maybe to this very night. What is it today? August the 8th at 6:25. And He's going to say, you see those little kids there, sitting there 20 years ago? And I'll go, oh, I remember that. What did you preach? Did you preach it? Did you warn them to be prepared and get ready for the day? And don't do a very good job. I apologize. Not a very good preacher, but I try my best. And by God's grace and filled with the Holy Spirit, I plead with the Lord, especially on Sunday mornings, to fill me with the Holy Spirit. Because these little kids, especially, right, they need to hear the gospel. They need to be prepared for that day. And shame on me, and I would be so devastated if I were to stand there before Christ that day and say, Tim, remember back on August 6th, 2021? And I'll say, oh, Lord, that was so long ago. I don't quite remember. Refresh my memory. And He may pop this scene up for me to see it. And I'd be so ashamed if I said, well, I didn't warn them, did I? I didn't talk about that preparation day. I didn't tell them that their life is coming to an end one day and they need to get right, they need to get saved. Oh, my friends, I know you believe the same way, and I pray that you do. Are you prepared tonight? Are you ready, not only for that day, but are you ready, as He says here, to give an answer? Are you living your life daily with the hope and glory of Jesus Christ, of hope in Him, and sanctifying the Lord Jesus Christ for others to see it, for others, right? Others, Lord, others, that they would know Him and the salvation that He gives and that He brings to all of us. I pray that you are. You're ready for Him. Amen? All right. Lord, thank you again for time tonight to share your word here. As we've been going through and just looking at some of these that you've given to us throughout the, especially the New Testament, being ready, being of comfort, being prepared, all of these, God, that we must be looking out, implementing into our lives. Lord, help me especially. What a message that I need to be ready. Often living throughout each day, kind of foggy and cloudy, concerned about other things, concerned about other areas of my life, instead of, Lord, being ready and prepared for you. And I pray for your help in that. Lord, bless now our church. Guide us now as we think and look out ahead. We're so excited about the next coming weeks and months ahead, Lord. And then we pray for the next decades that we could truly be a lighthouse to this community. And we know that, Lord, you're in control of all of that. Guide us now this week, Lord, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Again, and amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.